Our next case number is case number 12208, Catherine A. Hamill seeks variances from the rear yard and side yard setback requirements for an existing structure, sections 115.25 and 115.185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast corner of Bald Eagle Road and 9th Street. The 911 address is 21201 Bald Eagle Road, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel is District 334, map 19.16, parcel 100.00. Specifically, the applicant is seeking a 1.6 variance from the required 5 foot for a rear yard setback and a 0.6 foot variance from the required 5 foot side yard setback for an existing shed. Staff would note for the record that we have received an exhibit booklet, copies of which we do there. Oh, sorry, I do apologise. Different case, ignore that. Staff have received one letter of support, zero letters of opposition and zero mail returns. The letter of support is from an adjoining neighbour. He says, I am the owner of 21193 Bald Eagle Road and I support the requested variance for the current location of the utility shed. The shed location should be allowed to remain in its current location until it needs to be replaced. If replaced, it should be constructed with the current rear yard and side yard setbacks. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
It is Kenneth Beeks, and my address is 8490 Rapidan Hunt Lane, Rapidan, Virginia.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you state your case and address the standards, please?
State the case. This shed was installed nearly 30 years ago or somewhere in that neighborhood. I wasn't, my in-laws owned it at the time, and I was out at sea mostly. So I'm not sure exactly when, but about 30 years ago. We inherited the home, and Mrs. Vogt passed away just a few years ago, and we've kept it in good shape, and I was there just a few months ago and checked it out again, and everything that was in there was dry. Everything that was, you know, supposed to latch. So it still works. And it's been there all this time with really nobody knowing that. When we inherited the house, there was no survey done, I guess, and so it didn't come up at that point. When it was put in, nobody that I know of since has brought any issues about it, and so this was kind of a surprise to us when we finally sold the home just a few months ago. And it looks to me like we're talking 6 inches in one direction and about a foot and a half in the other, that we'd like to have approval just to keep the shed where it is. The next door neighbors don't mind. There is a fence between the shed and the back neighbors. So.
Okay. So this came about when you sold the property at settlement?
This was never an issue until just this last few months.
And I see on the application it said, for the dwelling. The dwelling was built in 83 and a CO was issued, but not necessarily the shed.
The shed is the issue, right?
Right, but on the application it says the dwelling was built in 1983. The home, and a CO was issued. At first I thought it was referring to the shed.
Yeah, the shed, the dwelling is not at issue here before us. I believe that could go through the administrative process because the CO was issued.
Correct.
Okay, so the standards for granting a variance. You need to convince the board you meet the five standards for the granting of the variance.
And I have that. I think it was because it's been there for a long time is the one argument I would make. The uniqueness of the property, I don't know that it's unique, but it's been there about 30 years and it's been part of the neighborhood. People recognize that it's there and it
Well, before you go further, one thing I would let you know is one of the elements that you have to demonstrate is that there is some uniqueness to the property, and that uniqueness has created an exceptional practical difficulty. So to say there is no uniqueness means that one of the standards hasn't been met, And if one of the standards hasn't been met, this board can't grant the variance.
Well, the...
So I don't know if you want to rethink that, that comment or not.
Is it unique because of land?
Is there difficulty in moving it?
Well, I guess here's perhaps one thing for you. You know, in looking at this, this is not a square lot. It appears to have an angle to it. So...
It is more of a rhombus or whatever you call it.
Would you say that that is a unique condition based on the shape of the property?
That's probably why it got within 6 inches or so. And that's, I would say that was unique. I would say that why can it not otherwise be developed? It's because it can't be moved. I think it would destroy the property. Eliminate the value.
From the overhead view, it looks like there's quite a few trees on there as well.
There are a lot of pine trees.
Okay,
there.
So yeah. Relocating it might be difficult.
There's no other place to put it but on the driveway.
Okay.
You'd
stated before that it was done by your in-laws and not yourself.
Correct. Okay. It was not created by us, but it was just, we received it the way it was.
Sure.
And it wouldn't alter the character of the neighborhood because it is part of the neighborhood, and the neighbors have even had use for it at times. And then the minimum variance is already, it's a very minimal variance as it is, and to make it any less minimal or more minimal would require moving it, and that would destroy the shed itself.
Okay. All right, are there questions from members of the board?
No, I think he addressed the standard and satisfied my questions.
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Shaw.
Well and septic on this property?
It used to have. It's now back on. It's on the sewer. They connected to the sewer about...
sometime after the shed was built?
Yeah, well,
okay.
After that.
So there was a septic on there, which may have led to why it was placed where it was.
There was a septic until maybe 10 years ago. I think the way I remember it, the local water company made them hook up to the well, to the sewer.
All right. And then... Ms. Cornwell, just wanted to confirm, my understanding is Bald Eagle Road is the corner front and 9th Street is the front. Is that right?
Bald Eagle's the front and...
Correct.
I just want to make sure
we
write
it
side yard, rear yard, we'll make sure we're referencing it correctly.
Okay. And it is addressed onto Bald Eagle Road.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no other questions. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the applicant met our criteria for a variance, so I would like to make a motion to approve case 12,208. The uniqueness of the property is the angled lot and it's very wooded. It cannot otherwise be developed because it's not possible to move the shed because it, due to all the trees, it would end up on the driveway. The problem was not created by the applicant because the shed has been there 30 years plus, and it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood because, once again, it's been there for 30 years. It's not changing the neighborhood, and it's a minimum variance request to continue use of the existing structure.
I second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. So by roll call vote, Ms. McGee.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Workman.
Aye for those reasons stated.
Mr. Callaway.
Aye for the previous reasons stated.
Mr. Mears.
Aye for my reasons.
And aye too for the reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, your case is approved.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next case, please.
The next application is 12209 JKJ Properties LLC seeks a special use exception for an off-premise sign. Sections 115-80, 115-81, 115-159.5, and 115-210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of DuPont Boulevard, Route 113, approximately 1,482 feet north of Beach Highway, Route 16. The 911 address is 12461 DuPont Boulevard, Allendale. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 230, Map 26, Parcel 36. Again, it's a special use exception for an off-premise sign. Received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, and no mail returns. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
James J. Weller, Jr., 10243 Webb Farm Road, Lincoln, Delaware.
Thank you.
Mark Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
And the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the record again, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates located outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the application for JKJ Properties LLC. And with me tonight is Mr. Jim Weller, who is the owner of JKJ Properties LLC, the owner of this piece of property. Also with us tonight is Mr. Lynn Rogers of Rogers Sign. This is an existing commercial property zone C1. I did turned in a hearing exhibit booklet that has the usual maps and the site plan in there that outlines our application. This is a again, in the booklet itself, there are the zoning map, and it does show that this parcel is zoned C1 general commercial. The property is approximately 1.79 acres in size. There is an existing use on the site right now. Currently, it's retail. It's a small thrift shop that occupies a portion of the building. This is a special use exception for a off-premise sign. More importantly, it's an off-premise electronic messaging center as outlined in sections 115-161.1. I'll go through the requirements that we meet as far as citing this sign on this piece of property. I'll go through the criteria for the special use exception, and then I'm going to ask Mr. Weller to come up here and tell you what his need is for the sign and tell you a little bit about himself. This is an electronic messaging center. It's an off-premise sign to be located on this 1.79 acres. I do have an additional handout here. I may hand it in. The application I'm handing in is the application that we submitted to DelDoc for their application for the outdoor advertising permit. In tab 4 of the exhibit is DelDoc's letter of no objection for the placement of this outdoor sign, the electronic messaging sign, although they refer to it as an electronic variable messaging sign, so a little bit different than the counties. But at the bottom of that of the application I just submitted you are the dimensions of the sign, the type of sign it's going to be, the height of the sign. This is a 10 by 30 sign. It's going to be 300 square feet on each side. The code does allow for 1,200 square feet on each side, or 1,200 square foot maximum, 600 square feet. This will be half that size. It will be mounted on a single 2-foot diameter steel pole. The sign is located approximately 41 feet off the front property line. As part of the application for DelDoc, the sign was staked out in the field. It is the minimum requirement for side yard setback is 50 feet. From the south part of this property will be about 64 and a half feet. From the north side, it'll be approximately a little bit more than 115 feet from the north property line. The property on the south side of us is commercial. There is a billboard located on that property. Our billboard will be placed approximately 601 feet from that existing billboard. The minimum requirement is 600 feet. That's billboard, we did locate that. My surveyors went out and we located that billboard. We also located the building. We located the, and we have staked out where the sign is to go, and that was inspected by Mr. Jay Sammons of Del Dot. We will, again, it's tight, but we feel that this V-style sign will be able to fit and be the 601 feet from the existing billboard that is located on the White's Well Drilling property. It's not shown on my map here, but it is shown on the site plan that I've submitted. We do show where, and it is a non-electronic sign, so the minimum requirement is 600 feet. One of the other requirements that we had to meet per Title II Del Dot Section 15.5.8 is that no electronic messaging sign can be within 1,000 feet of an intersection, which is kind of difficult to do in Sussex County, to be able to sight a sign along, say, 113, and 113 being the four-lane highway, so we are meeting those requirements under the code for roads which have four or more travel lanes. We are approximately 1,500 feet from the intersection of Route 16 and 113, so we do meet the requirement. The next intersection up the road is about a mile away, so this property is situated just in a unique situation where we can meet that 1,000-foot separation from the intersections of other roads.
You also meet the 1,200 feet from other electronic messaging centers.
That is actually this one, because we are on a four-lane highway, we have to be 2,500 feet from another electronic messaging center, and there are no other electronic messaging centers along this corridor. So we are further than 2,500 feet. There are no dwellings or churches or public land, so we do meet the, we are greater than 150 feet from there. There's no on-premise sign, so we do meet that requirement as well. The standard, such exception will not substantially affect adversely the use of the adjacent neighboring property. As I stated in the application, the adjacent properties to the south are all zoned commercial with billboards, with a billboard 600 plus feet away. The adjacent property on the north side is a wooded and vacant property on the north side. Just north of that parcel is a business use. The sign is being placed as far south of the vacant wooded parcel as possible without interfering with building located on the property. Such exception will not substantially increase the hazard from fire or other dangers to said property or adjacent property, but it will otherwise impair or the public health, safety, comfort, morals, or general welfare of the public, diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood, and duly increase traffic congestion on the public highways, or nor will it create a public nuisance or result in any increased public expenditures. That's our reasons for the special use, that it will not substantially affect adversely the adjacent property, the development of the adjacent properties. Again, we do meet the minimum setbacks for sections 115-159.5, as well as the sections 115-161.1. With that, again, I have submitted the hearing booklet, and I would like Mr. Weller to come up here and kind of explain to you about his use for the sign and a little bit about himself.
Well, good evening, everybody. I would like to, first of all, tell you my name is Jim Weller. I've lived in Sussex County about 57 years. I'm a local businessman, been in business 44 years, employ about 19 people, own 23 properties in Sussex County, sizable Sussex County taxpayer. And I also have a radio, TV, and Facebook live show called Weller Does Delmarva, starting our sixth year of doing this show, where I have local celebrities, politicians, fire departments, police agencies, government, state agencies, businesses. I help them promote their wares and businesses and things that they have going on. I would like to continue promoting things through the use of this billboard. I also own the corner property in Lincoln across from Fitzgerald's Auto Salvage, where I possibly will open another Weller's location that would be just north of this billboard, that I could also use it to promote that. So that is why I would like the billboard.
And one additional item in the booklet under tab 2, I did submit an example of the type of LED electronic messaging sign that's going to be placed there. So with that, myself, Mr. Weller, and Mr. Rogers are here to answer any questions that you may have about this variable sign. Thank you.
Is there a technical name for the V-shaped sign, or is it just called V-shaped?
I believe it's just a V-style sign.
I believe that's how we define it in the sign ordinance.
Pardon me?
I believe that's how we actually define it in the sign ordinance.
I saw the V-shaped before. Is that on a molly pole or not a molly pole?
It is on a molly pole.
It is on a molly pole, okay.
That is correct.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
We see that the adaptive specs, one of the things it says is exceptionally bright. I assume that it will meet all of the requirements for brightness and so forth in the county code.
Yes, yes, it will. And if, to further explain it, Mr. Rogers could probably explain that a little bit better than I could.
Okay. Good evening.
Lynn Rogers. It has a computer in the sign that is set to the requirement of the jurisdiction of where it sets at. It can be turned down as dim as you want, or in the afternoon if the sun shines and it's in the eyes, it can get brighter. But actually, the billboard, when it says it's super bright, it's not as bright as a 10 by 30 billboard that has two 400 watt halogen fixtures on it. So it's just, it's not intrusive like they are. So it has a computer on it to do that.
One question. You just said it dim itself down and bring itself up, like for cloudiness or. Okay, does that automatically sense that?
That won't exceed the county code.
Okay, but it'll do that too.
And yeah. Mr. Workman, just so you know, when we went through the sign ordinance a few years ago, one of the things that we came up with was there's an automatic dimming requirement in the code, and they go through foot candles, and there's a whole measurement that the county office can now use to be able to measure that. We actually have light meters to do that, and it's based on the ambient light around it, so you would have it very bright during the day. But at night, if you had that same brightness, you'd be blinding. So it's to dim at the evening hours. One of the things that Mr. Rogers, I did want to note, I see on the documentation here, it says brightness adjustment manual automatic, or it says auto programmable. So this is going to be set so that I think your testimony was that it'll be programmed to the county standards.
Yeah, and the county standards is higher than we usually put them anyway, especially because of on-premise signs. We don't take it to the maximum the code even allows. So we offer training when we're not programming them for them to be a good neighbor. And the ones you see that really bother you are people that push the envelope and put a white background at nighttime and a red letter. And that's not a good idea. So,
Mr. Rogers, is the sign 30 feet by 10?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for members of the board?
Nope.
Or Mr. Sharp?
Just one. Mr. Weller, what's the use of this site? I don't think I caught you. I think you said it's commercial. What's it being used for other than
right now I'm running it to a young man who has like a thrift store there.
Okay. So that thrift store is not going to be advertising on this. It'd be advertising for other businesses on other sites.
Anything not on that property.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone in opposition to this application? Hearing none, Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the applicant has more than met our county codes and questions concerning case 12209. So I would like to make a motion that we grant a special use exception for a 30-foot by 10-foot V-shaped electric sign. This sign will not substantially affect adversely the use of adjacent and neighboring properties.
I second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. So by roll call vote, Mr. Workman.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye for the reasons.
Mr. Calloway.
Aye for the reasons been stated.
Mr. Mears.
Aye for my reasons.
And I too for the reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, your case is approved.
Thank you.
Sir.
Next case, please.
I'll slow down.
What?
I'll slow down.
No.
No, you're good.
No.
Our next case number Our next case number is case number 12,210. Archie Strazella seeks variances from the side yard setback requirements for existing structures, sections 115.25 and 115.185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Oak Road, approximately 2,589 feet south of Beechwood Highway, that's Rev 16. The 911 address is 12962 Oak Road, Greenwood. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel ID is District 430, Map 10, Parcel 19. The applicant has submitted an exhibit book for board, and specifically the applicant requests a 7.8 foot variance from the side yard setback requirement of 15 feet for an existing garage, and also seeks a 3.9 foot variance from the 5 foot side yard requirement for an existing shed. Staff have received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Archie Strazella, 12962 Oak Road, Greenwood.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mrs. Burton, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
How did you manage to get so late in the agenda?
I guess it wasn't my lucky day. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine, Weideman, McCartney, and Owens. I represent the applicant, Archie Strazella, who's applied for a 7.8 foot variance from the side yard setback requirement of 15 feet for an existing garage. There is also a mention of a variance for a shed. There are actually two sheds currently on this property. There were three when it was surveyed. There are currently two. The one that's shown on the survey between the garage and the greenhouse has been removed. The other two sheds are going to be relocated so that they are in compliance with the zoning code. So this application this evening is only for the garage. We have submitted exhibit booklets for your review and consideration. Mr. Strazella, of course, is in attendance this evening to address any questions that the board may have. This property is located at 12962 Oak Road in Greenwood, Delaware. Mr. Strazella recently purchased the property in June of this year, so June 2018, from the previous owner, Joseph Weening. Unfortunately, Mr. Weening resides in California, so he was unable to join us this evening for purposes of this application. In lieu of his attendance, he has signed a sworn affidavit setting forth his testimony in support of the application. That affidavit is set forth in your exhibit booklet as exhibit number 2. The affidavit of Mr. Weening, who is a former owner of the property, sets forth the following facts. So he purchased the property on May 9th of 2012. He later transferred it into his trust in 2016. When he purchased the property, it was improved with the existing garage, which is the subject of this application this evening. Based on the review of the property record card for this property, Mr. Weening's affidavit sets forth that he believes that his predecessor in title actually constructed the garage in 2000 and did receive a permit for that, and that permit application is included as Exhibit 5 in your exhibit booklet. As trustee, Mr. Weening entered into a contract with Mr. Strazella, and that was on March 21st, 2018, in order to sell the property to Mr. Strazella. Prior to closing, Mr. Strazella did engage Cotton Engineering to perform a survey of the property. That survey was dated June 18th of 2018, and that is attached as Exhibit 3 in your exhibit booklet. Of course, it was this survey that revealed that the garage encroached into the 15-foot side yard setback by 7.8 feet. As set forth in Mr. Weening's affidavit, to his knowledge, the garage has not been relocated or moved in any way. It's remained in the same location since 2000. Prior to the receipt of the survey, he was unaware that the garage encroached into the side yard setback. And of course, upon learning of the encroachment, with Mr. Weening's cooperation, Mr. Strazella did file this variance application so that he could bring the property into compliance with the zoning code. As you can see, based on the screen there, this property is very unique. It is a large, irregular-shaped lot and also very deep. The exceptional practical difficulty is due to the uniqueness of the property and not to circumstances or conditions that are generally created by the zoning code. There is no possibility that the property can be developed in compliance with the zoning code at this juncture, as it would be necessary to remove a portion of the garage, which has been in its current location for 18 years. Variance is therefore necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. Neither Mr. Strizella nor Mr. Weening created the exceptional practical difficulty. Rather, they both purchased this property with the existing garage and just recently learned of the encroachment. So it was their belief until receipt of the survey that all improvements on the property were placed and constructed in compliance with all applicable zoning laws. It's our opinion that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of adjacent property, nor be detrimental to the public welfare. Mr. Strizella has spoken with the neighbor and he does not oppose this application. Mr. Weening states in his affidavit that he never received any complaints about the location of the garage either. We are seeking this evening a variance sufficient to bring this, the existing improvements into compliance with the zoning code, nothing more. Again, the two sheds are going to be relocated so that they comply as well. Thus, the variance represents the minimum variance that will afford relief and represents the least modification possible of the regulation and the issue. At this point, I would like to invite Mr. Strizella to the podium to address the board. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Archie Strizella, 12962 Oak Road in Greenwood, and I'm happy to be here. I woke up in February. Before I could put my socks on, I had this big word in my head, move. And the third Saturday I was here, I found this home. My wife loves the house, and I love the garage. But it's one.
I have the same situation.
That's a typical format.
It worked beautifully. But that picture, there's a 50-foot road there, public road underneath there. And he's plowing now, he's got soybean. And instead of being 50 feet, now it's only 25 feet. So that actually sometimes it floats back and forth. It depends on the plowing. But I talked to Mr. Baker, and he's retired like me. And he didn't even know nothing about it. And I explained everything to him, and he's okay with everything there. So there's no problem with my neighbor. And Joe on the other side, he works nights, so he don't really care about anything. But he's good too. So the point is, I get along good with my neighbors. And that's the way I like it. And I love being here. It's much more relaxed. I enjoy the property. I mean, it's a lot of work cutting the grass, but it's something I have to do. Do you have any questions?
Where are you from? Where did you move from?
Originally from Elizabeth, then I moved to Linden. I lived there for 29 years. I'm right across from Staten Island.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up here.
Now I do have
a lot of friends in Delaware, up in Newcastle, and in Laurel.
You're in slower Delaware now.
You're in God's country now.
That's true.
And Mr. Strizella, you heard the representations that I made to the board this evening?
Yes, it's all correct. She did her homework. I'm amazed.
She's very good.
Oh, thank you.
She's very good. Very good presentation.
Yep. Of course, we're available for any questions that you may have, and thank you for your consideration of our request.
Thank you. Are there questions from members of the board?
I have none.
I have none. Very well presented.
No questions.
And then there's Mr. Sharp.
I have no questions.
All right. Well, you did a great job.
Ms. McGee said I'm too fast.
Or everyone's very tired.
Well, I got to see if there's anybody here in favor of the application. Is there anyone here? We have one hand raised in favor. Is there anyone here in opposition?
I'm in opposition, I think.
Okay, well, come forward and be sworn in.
My name is Steve Beeson, 12924 Oak Road, Greenwood, Delaware. I own the lot.
You got to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, sir. And your last name again?
Reibsome, Reibsome.
Okay, thank you so much. You can go up to the podium there.
A little nervous.
That's okay. That's no need. Right.
You'll do fine.
Never met Mr. Trezelli. I am his neighbor, but I own the property beside him. That's the 50-foot road that he talked about. It's an access road going back to a lot that we own. We own two lots down. We own 8 and I believe it's 11. But we have an access road that's there. He was talking about the 50-foot access road that the farmer does plow 50 or about 15 feet onto. Every year we put no trespassing signs. He's still plowing on it. And several times now, they have tried to claim that road.
The road is not the issue this evening. The question is the pole building.
Right.
And its close proximity to the property line. Right. There, it should be 15 feet from the property line, but they're requesting a variance of 7.5 feet so that it can be 7.5 feet closer to the property line where it's been for all this time. Okay. That's the question. Are you in opposition to that building being there?
No, not as long as it's not, they're not trying to claim any part of that road.
No, that's not, the road is not.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's a legitimate question.
You're good. But it's the last owner tried to claim the road.
So. Okay. So for the record, you're not in opposition.
No.
I'm glad you're here.
Okay. Thank you. So if there's no one else in opposition, Chair will entertain a motion. You know that's not going to happen.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve case number 12,210. I believe they have met all the five criteria for granting a variance. That's my motion. Not long-winded like you guys.
Is there a second?
There's a second.
I have a motion and a second. So by roll call vote, Mr. Mears.
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Calloway.
Aye, for the reasons that have been stated.
Mr. Workman.
Aye, for the reasons that have been stated.
Ms. Mears. Ms. McGee.
Work.
My reasons.
Going on here?
My dear.
And I, too, for the reasons that have been stated. Sure. So by a vote of 5-0, your case is approved.
Thank you.
Bruce, it's just not your night.
It is a late night.
That's all right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
it doesn't bother me, Dale. I'm Teflon.
Huh? You what?
Teflon.
Teflon. There you
Teflon.
Go.
Okay. Like Teflon Bruce, huh?
Yeah. Like Slick Willie.
Oh, man. It's a late night.
I guess
next case, please.
Our next case number is case number 12,211. Kelly Hales seeks variances from the front yard setback and side yard setback requirements for existing structures. Sections 115.42, 115.182, and 115.185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of East Lagoon Road, approximately 511 feet north of Falling Point Road. The 911 address is 3835 and 3843 East Lagoon Road, Dagsborough. The zoning district is GR. The tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 6, parcels 123 and 124. Specifically, the applicant seeks a 3.6-foot variance from the 17.6-foot average front yard setback. Also seeks a 8.1-foot variance from the 10-foot side yard setback for the existing guest house, and also seeks a 1.1-foot variance from the 5-foot side yard setback for an existing shed. Staff have received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and 2 mail returns. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yeah, it's Kelly Hales. It's 36963 Sussex Highway, Del Mar, Delaware, 19940.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. I think I got... you guys have this already?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure what's in your thing or not. And you'll have the one where Mr. Lang... Lawrence Lang approved this setback for 17.6. Do you have that?
No, we do not.
I'm not sure how many I have to bring. I just brought, I don't know how to. And then this is the actual that's the bottom. I don't have a printer that can print out the whole thing, so.
Okay.
I explain what they are. Again, I'm Kelly Hales. That's 36963 Sussex Highway, Delmar, Delaware. We own a property in Dogwood Acres in Dax Barrel. And I went through all the proper steps of having a survey, trying to keep the setback of where my mobile home used to sit on this property. And so in order to do that, I had to hire a surveyor. He come down, he went down like 300 feet each way of the property to show that, you know, everybody in there, their houses sit up on the roadway. They're not that far from the street. And in the process of hiring the lady to construct this pole barn structure to be a house, we ended up, she told us that we had to put our four stakes in where our four corners are going to be for a home. So we had a surveyor come in, marked our property lines, did the whole nine yards. We set our post where they were supposed to be. Lawrence Lank approved the 17'6". So, and the reason for my uniqueness of this, happen to have that, is because I have not only like a flood zone that, you know, he said the original setback would be 30 feet from the front property line. I didn't want to go back that far because I have a flood zone. I didn't want to be in a flood zone. And the mobile home that used to sit there was never in a flood zone. As you can see how close it sat up, even with the other houses. And then if you see my new structure, the building itself, how it sits, the water pump shed is right in front, as you can, that little thing that's in the front. And you can see in this picture here, if you all looked at it, it's got little stepping stones there, but what that spot right there is actually the water pump shed that is existing where the house now sits. Okay, in the process of hiring this lady, we happened to pull up and her site man had pulled our four stakes up.
Who was the lady?
It was Jamie Grillo, and she has Amish tradesmen. And her site man was Jean. That's all I know him by.
Jamie what?
It was Jamie Grillo.
Okay.
And her site preparation guy was named Jean. And we met him on the property so he could see that, you know, how our lot looked. And in the process of that, he had pulled our four stakes up, or where we already had it marked for this building. We told him that, you know, what our setbacks were, where it had to go back at. I told Lawrence Lank that, you know, I didn't mind a 10-foot setback off of the, from the side that's, I'm not sure, like if you're facing, like if my property is in front of me, like to the left, there's a trailer, which is in the prop, in one of these pictures here, this mobile home right here. I didn't mind the 10-foot because the existing mobile home that is in the paper, that the survey that's on there, was already sitting on the property line anyway, on because I own three lots there. Okay, they're only 50 foot wide. They're narrow lots. And when I bought it, the mobile home was already there. So it's been there since like 1968. Not the mobile home. I think the cottage was there. And then the mobile home was put in later. And but it was already encroaching onto one of the property lines where I have the three lots. And so wanted to move it over 10 foot, it made the rest of it, you know, it made me still on that property line, but now I'm like farther into that property line. But I still meet the 10 foot setback requirement between me and the other trailer. But the front, when he put our stakes back, we didn't realize this until we did the survey afterwards, like they require you to redo the survey to make sure your building is in the right spot, your home. we found out that he did not get it back where the four stakes belonged. He's got one corner, okay, it's 17.8, but the other corner is only 14 foot from the front. And being the house is already constructed, I have a temporary occupancy for it. You know, there's a lot of things. I don't want to tear my house down, you know, so I'd like to be able to keep this where it sits. And I don't, and there's an existing wall there. I'm not sure how many criteria I have to meet due to the fact that it would have been in the right spot if this gentleman didn't move the stakes. And I had plenty of room. So, but there is an existing wall that is behind the home, and then there's the flood zone. And, you know, so that, and plus it slopes off after the wall, the property slopes off in the back. And so I'm just here to hopefully be able to keep the home where it sits.
I have a question for staff. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you have an X and then a flood zone running through a lot, isn't the whole lot considered governed by a flood zone ruling because it's the worst case scenario zone?
I believe it's where you're going to build, and I can't speak to that. The floodplain manager can actually speak to that, but typically if you're building outside of the floodplain in the zone X, you don't have to comply. If you're, and we've seen buildings both in that are both in the zone X and then like VE or AE, then it has to build to the flood. Okay. So if it's out of it, it doesn't, but if it's crossing, then it has to comply.
Okay, thank you.
So the reason that you're an additional 3.6 feet from the 17 that was considered an average was because someone moved your stakes?
Yes. See, our wall in the back, this was his excuse of moving our stakes. There's like a retaining wall that holds dirt there. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to parallel it. We didn't have it parallel due to the fact it had to be, you know, where the 17.6 was the main part of, you know, the front of the property. They had to be that far back. Well, when he moved it to parallel it to this wall, he messed up the whole, you know, the whole building. So instead of being 10 foot from the side on there, I'm like 12.1 on one, I'm 10.3 there. Like, it's not even where I had it.
Where are these people that this Jamie Grillo and this site man?
They're out of Greenwood.
But why aren't they here with you tonight?
I don't know. I'm taking them to court. That'd be one reason why they're not here. Like, I have other issues with the home itself.
The other structures, the guest house and the shed, were they existing structures?
Yeah, the guest house was there back before you guys even did any. It was back in before they started doing planning and zoning in 74 or something, the lady said. She gave me a write-up on that.
So it's a non-conforming structure?
Yeah.
And why is it before us this evening? Because they're subdivided the properties, is that right?
No, it's all the property.
We're trying to get the setback into compliance.
But I mean, if it's always been
right, but sometimes we recognize the building is non-conforming, and then if it's coming ahead, we'll get the variance for it. So then there's no other issues in the future.
Okay. And the shed also is non-conforming, or was put there later?
Yeah, I guess it was there. Like, it's been there.
Okay.
The only thing we changed is we tore a mobile home down and mm-hmm. built this building, right, you know, this other house. Which, as you can see on that plan, my original structure where the mobile home was actually had a front porch on it, and it was only 12 foot from the front of the road. I'm still 14 foot back. So either way, I'm still not as close, even if, you know, as the mobile home was.
Okay.
So all I'm asking is, I guess I didn't even know about like the shed and the guest house. Lawrence Lankin said something about the guest house way back when he was here. And so I showed him the paper stating that it was, you know, it was there prior to, I guess, planning and zoning going out to do their thing. And so that was okay. I didn't know anything about the other setbacks. That's why it was kind of confusing when I seen the post and it said side setback, because I was like, maybe they're talking about because the house is going on to my second lot. So
is this type quite confusing.
Yeah, see, these lots.
And I would think that you would have somebody, if they moved your markers, you would have them appear here.
I don't get, we're in.
Who got the building permit?
I did. I was told to get the building permit.
And did you read the building permit?
No, not really.
You didn't, but you signed your name on a document?
I just thought I was getting a building permit to build this structure.
And it gives you your setbacks?
No, Lawrence Lank gave me my setbacks of 17.6.
No, when you sign a building permit, it gives you your setbacks.
Okay, so well, that would have been the 30-foot and the 10-foot. So I went, hired a surveyor, and Lawrence Lank signed off, did the, like, I paid a surveyor so I could keep my place out of the flood zone and put it back almost originally where it was at.
Yeah, Ms. McGee, they're allowed to average the setbacks there, so that's what she did. So, but I think her testimony, to go to your question before, and make sure I'm clear, you're in litigation right now with your builder.
Yes, yes.
So they weren't just readily going to show up tonight
absent a subpoena
of some sort. So
because they're saying nothing's their fault.
That may be part of the reason they're not here, Ms.
I mean, I don't even go there. Like, I am $8,000 in a hole with them right now fixing stuff that they've messed up.
Ms. Cornwell, I'm looking at the survey here. It appears that the dwelling doesn't meet many setbacks. The sides, for example, one of them is 5.7. Well,
that's the old place.
That's the old. So
this one that you need to look at, that's the old exist. That's the one they tore down.
Yeah, here's the. I think
he's got a copy. He's just got a.
Okay, all right, wait a minute.
You should.
She's showing it.
Here it is, right here.
As-built survey. Okay. I'm with you.
It's very confusing.
It is.
Right, because it used to be three separate lots. They combined two into one, and then where the separate shed is, that is a separate parcel.
Okay.
So what they did on the as-built was they showed all the property lines.
Gotcha. Okay.
Old property lines.
And another reason we were trying to keep the building up to 17.6, even with Lawrence Lank, is because our septic, as you can see, sits right in front of that little cottage thing. Well, our drain field actually sits on the third lot, so it can never be sold unless I move it. Well, I had that perk to see where else we could move the septic if we had to. Well, that would be right back where the flood zone is, along the left side of the cottage, as you're looking at the cottage. So we definitely didn't want to be back in that area for that either. So, but the problem is it really don't boil down to me. The gentleman moved my stakes. We're in court with him now. And, you know, this is why I'm, you know, I had to come here. I had to pay $400, you know, out of my pocket to come here to try to keep my house where it sits.
The pump house was existing.
I'm trying to find it.
It's in the front.
That's most likely existing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we get a variance?
Yeah, probably so.
Would be a good idea to add that.
We advertised all of this, right?
Yes.
They're separate.
I'm getting cleaned up now.
So that would need a variance of 5 feet. No. Is it 12.6 or it's 12 feet? It's 12 feet on that one corner, isn't it?
You mean where the pump house sits?
The pump house to the property line. There's a mark on one corner at 12 feet, and then I guess.
No, that dim marks there are actually the level of my lot. Like the.
It's the grading.
Yes, yeah, the grading. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You don't even worry about the pump house, right?
So we don't know how far the pump house is.
We'll have it in a second. A minute.
There is a picture in there that I actually took it to one across the street of the house across the street from me because everybody, like, just to show that people do sit up on the road close, but it just happens to be their pump house too, is right in their front yard.
Okay.
It's just everybody's pump house is in.
Pump house is at 9 feet.
Nine feet.
Correct.
So then it would need a 8.6 foot variance.
Yes.
Correct, from the average.
Yep.
From the average of 17.6. Okay, are there any other issues we got here?
Well, there's nobody here for or against it.
No.
But it is a lot to take in. I'd like to table it till next meeting if possible.
Yeah, I need to decipher all that's going on here, too.
Okay. Is there a motion for that?
I make the motion that we table until next meeting.
I think you should just ask.
Okay, is there anyone here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition to the application? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we table this application until next meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed? And the motion is carried. So the public hearing is closed.
Okay.
You can either be here and watch our deliberations, you can watch on the internet, or you can call the office in the following morning.
Okay, and when?
That will be the 15th.
15th? Okay. I think the things weren't like confusing of like there's like three different ones.
No, we're good. We're good.
Thank you.
I had a case.
I know.
There was another application. It was withdrawn prior to, the packet was sent out, but it was withdrawn prior to, so you didn't actually have to vote on it, so it's all okay.
Okay.
So yeah, there was an extra application, however, it no longer needs a variance.
Okay, because I didn't see it on the agenda, so just want to make sure.
It never made it to the agenda.
Didn't make it. Tag nabbit.
It's your packet, but not to the agenda.
Okay, well, that's all the cases. Is any other business discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
No.
Aye.
I can't say anything tonight. Y'all are too quick.
All those opposed? Motion carried. We're adjourned.